So who can remind me of the primary theme of Romans 9, 10, and 11? Anybody? Kevin? Pardon? Faith is definitely one of the themes. But what's the primary theme of those three chapters? Cash? Israel. Amazing, isn't it? And remember, we saw there in chapter 11, verse 1, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. He did not cast away the Jews. He's not finished with the Jews. And that was the theme of the beginning of the chapter. Now, later on in the chapter, he's going to mention the other dispensational group in the Bible besides the church. Anybody know who the third dispensational group is in the scriptures? There's only three. There's the Jews, the Gentiles. Oh, I just gave it away. Sorry. Thanks, Mark. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give another offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So those are the three dispensational groups in Scripture. At any given time, the primary focus of a passage is to one of those three dispensational groups. And we need to make sure we know which one it is before we say, oh, that's for me. Right? But anyway, he's going to mention the Jews tonight, the Gentiles. So verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. If their eyes be darkened, that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminish of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert graft in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So tonight we focus on the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we contemplate these great truths together. As we're reminded, Lord, that you love Israel. You're not finished with Israel. And Lord, how you've allowed us to be part of the tree, of the kingdom, and for that we are grateful. But Lord, may we understand these things tonight through the help of your Holy Spirit, and Lord, may you work in our hearts through it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says there in verse 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. He's talking about Israel. He's saying, did they only stumble for our sake? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Now this was prophesied of as early as Jesus's committal at the temple when he was a babe. Let's see that in Luke chapter 2. Now, of course, it did not really come to pass until halfway through the book of Acts. But God knew what was going to happen. And notice here, this is when Jesus Christ was brought to the temple, which was the custom. And there was a prophet at the temple who prophesied over Jesus at that time. And the course of that prophecy, one of the things he said in verse 32 of Luke 2, he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So they put both groups in the same verse. So Jesus Christ came to earth to be both of those things. To be a light to lighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of Israel, their Messiah. Now, of course, the Gentile part came later, but this was a prophecy of the full ministry of Jesus Christ, if you will. And Paul there reminded us there in verse 13 of our passage that said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. So Paul there claiming to be an apostle. How many are there? There are 12. How do we know this? Because their names are engraved in the New Jerusalem, Revelation chapter 21. The names of the 12 apostles. So if a person today claims to be an apostle, that's pretty tough, since those 12 slots are already claimed. Amen? And people often think, well, okay, how did Paul fit in? Well, he took Judas's slot. It's not complicated. Judas Iscariot lost his when he fell. And Paul took it. So it wasn't Matthias who the disciples chose to take matters into their own hands and cast lots and say, we've got to fill this 12th slot. No, it's Paul. And Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. If you go to Acts 22:21, God here speaking to Paul about his ministry. And notice Acts chapter 22 and verse 21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now when you think about it, isn't it fascinating that God called a very loyal Jew to be the apostle to the Gentiles? Why wouldn't he call one of the Gentiles to be an apostle to the Gentiles? Why did he call a Jew to be an apostle to the Gentiles? Well, it's good that you asked that question. But the apostles, they have to be Jews. That's just the way it works. The New Jerusalem is Jewish. The kingdom is Jewish. And so the apostles had to be Jewish. And yet we see Paul's heart. He never lost his burden for the Jews, did he? I mean, when he was writing the book of Romans, he was writing right to a Gentile church at Rome, and yet we see his heart for his people in the flesh in chapters 9, 10, and 11 for the Jews. So back to our passage, Romans 11, verse 14, if by any means, here he says it again, he just talked about he's the apostle to the Gentiles, but then he says in verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh. Yes, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. Yes, I've been sent by God to plant churches in all these Gentile cities. But just maybe. Maybe they'll be jealous. Maybe something will provoke them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he says there at the end of verse 14, I might save some of them. We see that burden never went away in Paul. We saw it in chapter 10, verse 1. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. We saw it in chapter 9, verse 3. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Can you imagine making a statement like that? I could wish that I go to hell so that my Jewish brethren can be saved. That's how strong his burden was. And so Paul here, the apostle to the Gentiles, talking about how we, as Gentiles, are allowed to be part of this Jewish program. This is a Jewish book from start to finish. It's Jewish. It's about a king and his kingdom. And it's about a group of people called Israel. So verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, so he's talking about Israel again, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. I know some of you work with plants and so forth, and you understand what he means when he's talking about grafting. Grafting a branch from a different kind of tree into a different tree, and sometimes creating a new thing. But he's saying that you and I were fortunate enough, those that are born again, to be grafted in. And Jesus mentioned this. If you go over to Matthew 8, he prophesied of this again. In Matthew 8, he's talking about in the future. So know the church did not begin with Jesus. It did not begin with the disciples. It did not begin with John the Baptist. But notice Matthew 8:11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, that's a prophecy that one day you and I will be able to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all Jews, by the way, in the Jewish kingdom. And then Matthew 21, he says it again. This is toward the end of his ministry, Matthew 21, verse 43, talking to Israel. And look what he says. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given unto a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So the rejection is continued, and Jesus' withdrawal of the offer, repent for the kingdom of at hand, is now completed pretty much. And he's saying, this kingdom is going to be taken from you, and it's going to be given to a different nation. Now, he mentions there the kingdom of God. And so it's a kind of a sad passage from a Jewish point of view, isn't it, what we're reading? But let's go back to it. So he talks there about the severity and the goodness of God all being combined. And then he said in verse 23, they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. What's the key to being grafted back in as a Jew? Stop abiding in unbelief. That's what it says there, right? The two negatives saying, believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Even though he's writing to the Romans, he's also talking to Israel and saying, if you will stop your unbelief, you can be grafted back in to the tree while all these Gentiles keep being grafted in. And he says there in verse 25, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So this is a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. This blindness is, you know, it began right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it continues today. And this is a generalization. There are some saved Jews, praise God. But he's talking in general. Go to Romans 9, if you would, verse 31. But in general, the Jews are still blind to the fact that 2,000 years ago their Messiah came to earth and that he was God in the flesh. Notice Romans 9:31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, verse 32, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. That's Jesus. He's the stumbling stone. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. And blindness is still, if you go to 2 Corinthians 3:15, God calls it a veil on their heart. He's talking on a national level. Again, there are still some Jews that are finding Jesus, but on a national level, they're blind. They still don't see that the one who was prophesied of in the Old Testament, especially Isaiah 53, came. Notice 2 Corinthians 3:15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. He's saying the veil is still there. They're still blind as a nation. And he says, how long will this last? Verse 25, and this is our title, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Gentiles. So remember, it was prophesied of that the Gentiles would turn to Christ and that the church would primarily be made up of Gentiles. But Jesus even mentions this in Luke 21, if you want to turn there, Luke 21, 24. He mentions this time of the Gentiles, which in a sense is already in place, but it culminates in the tribulation period. But notice Luke 21, 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. He's talking here about the tribulation period. And he's saying that it's only going to get worse for the Jews, which we all know this to be true. The tribulation period will be terrible. It will be the culmination of their chastisement for rejecting the Lord, for worshiping false gods and rejecting the word and so forth. And he says, this is going to take place and it's just going to get worse and worse until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then what happens? Romans 11, 26, and all Israel shall be saved. So when will that happen? That will happen when Jesus, toward the second half of the tribulation and culminating with the return of Jesus Christ. Remember, during the tribulation period, there will be 144,000 men that have been supernaturally touched by God. Imagine 144,000 Pauls. We see what Paul accomplished. He was supernaturally touched by God and called by God. This is what's going to happen in the tribulation period. God's going to do the same thing, but with 144,000 of them, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. These virgin male preachers, and they're going to go into all the world and preach about Jesus. And many Jews will turn to the Lord through their preaching and realize they missed it the first time. But as a nation, and we read about this in Matthew 25, when we looked at the parables in Matthew 25, as a nation, eventually Israel will be saved. If you look at Isaiah 33, 22, God prophesied of this many times in the Old Testament. This is one example. And this is referred to in Ezekiel as the new covenant, where Israel will get, as a nation, a new heart, and they will be saved as a nation. They will receive and accept Jesus Christ as a nation. Notice Isaiah 33, 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. Little did they know that it would take, well, at least 2,500 years for this to happen. We don't know how long it'll be. We're just assuming he's coming any moment, but we could be wrong. And who is going to make all this happen? Verse 26 of Romans 11, the deliverer. Amen. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. By the way, this is Jehovah's name in Psalm 18. He came to free us. We're told in John 8:36, he delivers us from the wrath to come. He delivers us from the power of darkness. Jesus is the deliverer. Praise the Lord. But he's a Jewish deliverer. He comes out of Zion. And then he reminds us in verse 27 about the covenant. Which, let's just look at the New Testament version in Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Now, Hebrews 8:10 is just quoting the Old Testament covenant. Did I say Ezekiel? I meant Jeremiah. I'm sorry. Jeremiah 31. The fourth unconditional covenant to Israel is called the New Covenant, where God says they'll get a new heart. And here he's quoting that covenant in Hebrews 8:10. He says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Again, he's quoting Jeremiah 31, the last and one of the most beautiful covenants God made with Israel, is that one day, and by the way, it hasn't happened yet, one day they would get a new heart, and their sins would be forgiven, and they will be given their kingdom. And as a nation, the fulfillment of Romans 11:26 will take place, that all Israel shall be saved. But in the midst of all of that, there will be the fullness of the Gentiles, the culmination, if you will, of the times of the Gentiles, which we're technically in now. Remember when we looked at Daniel's image? We're technically in that as well. So they're kind of simultaneously happening. The dispensation of the grace of God, the church, but the times of the Gentiles, which again culminates in the tribulation period when the Gentiles trample on the temple. And eventually Israel will be saved once this fullness of the Gentiles takes place. The good news for us, we don't have to be here for that. Amen? Because we've not been appointed under wrath. Jesus came to deliver us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. And this time, that when the fullness of the Gentiles occurs, we will be with Jesus in heaven. Hallelujah. Trust me, you don't want to be here for that. The fullness of the Gentiles. It will be terrible. And remember, we read about it in Daniel over and over. The point for Israel is they will one day, as a nation, be saved. God is not done with them. Like he said in verse 1, has God cast away his people? God forbid. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for these beautiful truths about the future. And Lord, that you still love your people. You haven't given up on them. And that one day, when their chastisement is complete, they will be allowed to finally receive their promised kingdom. Thank you for grafting us in, that we might be part of all of that. We are so grateful for that. And Lord, may we continue to pray for your people Israel. And Lord, continue to witness to as many as we can that they might also